Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 33 with myself, Trevor Cowley, with the man, the myth, the legend, Kel Goodman.
What's up?
Kel's probably going to do the majority of the talking today. You know, he's much smarter than I am when it comes to some of the stuff that we're going to talk about. You know, he does speak at events and stuff like that as well in regards to, you know, entity structures, in regards to, you know, some tax planning stuff. Kind of giving some tips and hints on some things that people could do to put themselves in a better situation financially through, you know, tax strategies. And I know that we already did an episode on some tax strategies, and we had an offer at the end where we did a tax plan, and, you know, some people took advantage of it. But we did get a lot of messages of people saying, man, I really like the information that you guys were giving in that. If you can do more, you know, podcasts around, you know, money or structures or just in business in general. And we thought, because of some of the questions we've received lately, that it would be a good thing to address this right now. You guys, if you're an employee, you're about to get your W-9s. If you haven't already got it, so that you could file your tax return.
Okay? W-2s,
Or W-2s. Sorry about that. W-9s for 1099 people.
Yeah.
Your W-2 so that you can file your tax return. And I got hit up just today of somebody asking if H&R Block really does things the right way, or if there's things that they might miss. And this individual was a W-2, you know, wage earner, right? An employee, didn't own a business.
Sure.
And would I advise an entrepreneur to go to H&R Block?
Yeah.
No. You know, they're basically going to take what they're given and punch in numbers. There's no strategies or anything like that behind it. And
I mean, I honestly, and I'm not trying to rag on H&R Block at all, but like, if you are the type of person that's like, listen, I got nothing going on, no investments, no like anything other than just standard deduction, maybe a kid, whatever, right? Like, I'm not taking any deductions, no Schedule C, nothing. Like, I probably still wouldn't go to H&R Block.
Really?
Yeah. Why? I mean, why wouldn't you just get on H&R Block's
their software
and do it yourself? Or why wouldn't you just go on TurboTax and do it yourself?
Yeah.
You know, if it's really that simple.
Yeah.
And I honestly wouldn't want anybody doing my taxes that isn't really, you know, if I have anything
qualified,
business going on, if I've got any investments going on, if I've got a lot of personal deductions going on, I wouldn't even want H&R Block, or I wouldn't want to do it myself on any of those softwares, and I wouldn't want to go to just a quick H&R Block fix, right? Because if you go in, it is they have all their little upsells, and it is going to be too expensive. In my opinion, it's going to be more expensive than
it should be. I talked to somebody recently because they advertise, you know, like $100 for a tax return or whatever. And I was talking to somebody, I'm like, it never ends up being that.
They're never
like,
does.
I know when I, by the time I left, I paid $265.
For a personal return, if you go for a Schedule C, even if it's very simple, $800-$900.
Really?
Okay. So, I mean, and if you got a Schedule E with some real estate, it's just as almost just as much money as like a CPA firm, but you're going to get less tax savings. That's
so
my opinion.
So they pull you in on the original price point of being very low, but by the time you're out the door, they do the out the door pricing, which is five, six, seven times the reason why you went there.
It's just like going on to LegalZoom, setting up your entity.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, you can do that.
You can do it, yeah.
And you can buy all the little upsells and end up paying more than you would have if you just had a professional do it. And you're still doing it yourself. You're just going through their little
process,
making your selections and setting up your entity.
Yeah.
And the problem I see with that is so many people, they do it wrong, man. Like, they don't know if they should be an LLC taxes, an S Corp, C Corp, partnership, or sole proprietorship.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know. And so they go in and they wing it. And if it defaults and they don't, and you don't do it right at all, or you do it on your state website, not even through LegalZoom, and you don't do it right, it's going to default to a C corporation. And so, really, now you got to do a Schedule C to take your business write offs. And that C Corp was like,
a waste of money.
Yeah, it was just a waste of time.
Yeah.
And you got to file a return on it now, which is going to cost you money. Or if you try to run your deductions through a C Corp return, now you can't pass the, if you have a loss, you can't pass those losses through to you personally. You know, and so really, I think it's always smart
to
get the right people in your corner, right?
Gotcha.
No matter what your situation is. Like, I wouldn't go to H&R Block to get your taxes done.
Well, some people do it because, you know, if they get quoted at $400 for personal tax return and H&R Block advertises $100, they think that, they're trying to cut a corner and save $300, but in reality, they may spend the exact same amount, if not maybe a little more, maybe a little bit less.
Yeah.
But the quality is not as high.
Well,
and you're paying roughly the same price.
Some people are desperate for money. So they're going to be like, cool, H&R Block will, if I got a $4,000 tax refund, H&R Block will give me $3,500 today.
Yeah.
But now H&R Block just made $500 on you. So they're going to make $500 just for waiting a week or two longer to get that refund back on you, you know? So,
and I've heard, and again, I don't know 100% what the scope of the education is of the people that are doing the tax return. And I can't, again, say for 100% certainty because I've never been inside of their walls and don't know their entire process. But I've heard that they can take anybody off the street and have them watch a few videos. And then now they're a tax preparer for H&R Block.
Well, they got their courses and they got their internal education. But you got to understand, like, as an accountant, there is no, like, required education to become an accountant. Like, if you work in H&R Block and you're doing accounting, you're an accountant.
Okay.
You know?
Zero schooling, though.
Yeah. You don't have to go to school.
You don't have to go to school.
And so anybody that's doing accounting could go around and say, I'm an accountant.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But obviously to say you're a CPA is a whole nother level, right?
Okay.
And so... If you go to work at H&R Block, yes, they can hire anybody that they want off the street to teach them their course on how to prepare taxes their way. And so when a customer comes in and sits down off the street, they can just go through their little software and fill in the numbers for them. You're basically overpaying for a data entry, I would only want to say specialist, just an employee.
Something that you could do yourself on a TurboTax software or something. Yeah.
And again, if your taxes are very simple and you do want to get that advance on your tax refund and that's a good fit for you, great. I mean, H&R Block is in business for a reason.
Yeah. So, guys, that was a question. Again, this is it's tax season, right? So everybody's kind of reaching out, DMing real business owners, you know, about what's the difference of an EA versus CPA. I've got, is H&R Block really that bad? Am I even structured right? So, guys, we wanted to bring you a podcast that talked about a few different things. Just a couple of the softwares that are available to you that you could utilize to do your own taxes.
Well, and I don't even want to bore people to death by talking about a bunch of taxes. I keep it simple, but it's just good because I want you guys to have like good questions to go ask your tax professionals, right?
Or a general knowledge, because I think that's what's missing in today's day and age is they don't teach this shit in school. So we turn 18, parents aren't teaching their kids anything about taxes because they've never been taught anything about taxes. So now nobody for generations knows anything about taxes and you just get this piece of paper and you look around. Oh, well, there's a building that says H&R Block, and they say they do taxes. I've seen their commercials. I'm going to take it there.
Right.
You know? And so it's just kind of the fact that it's not talked about in the general day-to-day conversations that anybody has because it's kind of a one-time-a-year event, and nobody even knows what the hell they're talking about when it comes to taxes. And so it's just a confusing topic. And so we thought, you know, again, not to bore you to death, but we want to shine some light on some things and make sure that you guys are the educated people in the world and knowing what quality you may be getting by going to an H&R Block type company. And again, I'm just using them as an example. There's other ones, you know, similar to that. They're just kind of a big known name that you guys can, you know, be familiar with as we use this as an example. But as Kel said, to call yourself an accountant, you need zero schooling.
Mm-hmm.
You can punch in, you know, digits on a computer into a software and call yourself an accountant. So be very careful. A recent question is, what's the difference between a CPA and an EA? And guys, just so that you know, an EA is considered an enrolled agent.
Mm-hmm.
So Kel, go over the differences of what an EA is versus a CPA.
Yeah, an EA also has no requirement for education at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a certification directly through the IRS, and the exam that you have to pass to become an enrolled agent is actually very difficult. Some people would say it's comparable to a CPA exam, but the CPA exam is longer and it is more. And to maintain a CPA, you have to get continued education, which you don't as an EA.
Mm.
You know, but an EA really is so the reason the IRS even did it is because they want to make sure people are qualified to represent people in case of an audit, right?
Gotcha.
So,
they
need to know almost as much as a CPA in order to represent people in case of an audit. Yes.
Gotcha.
But they do not have like some, you know, continued education requirement and that you don't have to be educated to do it. So if you're pretty sharp with taxes and you're pretty sharp with accounting, you could go in and take an enrolled agent exam through the IRS and become an an enrolled agent. And it does qualify you to sign off on tax returns and represent people in case of an audit. So,
but at least there's some sort of safety net with that, that they have to pass a test.
Yeah.
So with an accountant, there is no test that they have to pass, right? So anybody can call themselves an accountant.
Yeah, you can even go to H&R Block and take an exam or a course.
So how many levels are there? Is there an accountant and then an EA and then a CPA?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the three levels?
Well, and an attorney. An attorney can also represent an audit, and they can also sign tax returns and prepare taxes as well. Obviously, an attorney is like top level as far as the amount of work that they – so if they are a tax attorney, you know, they've got even
more power,
even more continued education and things that they got to do than as a CPA as well.
Gotcha.
And they can handle things on a legal standpoint as well as an accounting standpoint, whereas a CPA really – they're not supposed to really handle the legal side of things.
Okay,
right?
So there's four levels for the most part, just to be, you know, just to make it simple. Mm-hmm. An accountant is the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then there's an EA, which would be in second, second.
Right,
and then there's a CPA.
Right,
towards the top, and then the top would be a CPA or a CPA slash attorney, tax attorney.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay. So. At least an EA, they know at least what the hell they're doing because there's a safety net.
Yeah, they're sharp people. And let's be real. Like, honestly, like, not all accountants are created equally, as we know. CPAs, I don't care if you're a tax attorney or you're a CPA. You can all be very, very sharp individuals, very smart,
Book smart.
And know your shit. But if you're not going to service me how I need to be serviced as a business owner, as an entrepreneur,
That's true.
The best fit for me, like I don't want you. Like, I want who's going to service me the best that is sharp, right?
Well, there are lazy people. Just because somebody went to school to get something doesn't mean that they are guaranteed going to go the extra mile on everybody.
I can't tell you how many lazy CPAs I've met. Yeah.
You know, they just kind of, again, just so that you know, a lot of them are doing almost accountant type work where they're just taking information and doing data entry and not really doing any tax planning or strategizing. They're not asking you a bunch of questions to try to maximize your return or minimizing the amount that you pay in taxes. Because I've sat with CPAs and they're like, bring me just your bank statements and this and that, whatever, back in the day. And they didn't really ask me a whole lot of questions.
Yeah, because you're just bonus money, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
They've made the bulk of their money off of
maybe
bigger guys.
They probably got two, three big clients that they're chasing, that they're making their 100 grand a year off of
Where
or whatever.
Most of their attention is
And then everyone
going.
At tax prep season is like, you know, just bonus money to them. Yeah, give me your $400 and here I'll rush your tax return and see you at the door. Good luck.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing, you know? So $400 or $500, $1,000. They're just making extra bonus money off the small business owners, you know what I mean? So that's why, you know, if I could really give any advice on that, I would want to find a CPA or a firm that's pretty entrepreneurial. The guy that I'm going to be working with as my advisor, right? I don't care about who's preparing my taxes because my advisor, my guy that plans with me, we're going to have this all detailed out and we're going to be doing things throughout the year so that when tax prep comes, it really is just data entry.
So your end of year financials will ultimately show all of the strategies that you've done throughout the year to where you have your end of year financials that
it's in your books.
Yeah, it's all...
If you do pay your kids, it's already on the books. Yeah. So the tax preparer knows what to do with it.
Yeah.
They know, like, oh, it's already been W-2'd. It's already been, you know, in the books, categorized everything. So, you know, that's where you need to do, in my opinion, is you need to have a guy, no matter what level you're at in business, you need to make sure you have a guy that is servicing you how you need to be serviced. You're working with them several times throughout the year. They are looking at your structure, your flow, how you flow your money, because that is different with each business structure too. And a lot of people, this is where we save a ton of people money in their tax planning, is we find out, well, dude, maybe you should have been an S corp while you were making a couple few hundred thousand bucks, but dude, you're making like 800 grand now. If you're flowing your money this way through an LLC, really an S corp's only saving you on Social Security tax and Medicaid, like the self-employment taxes.
7%.
And that's only up to a first $140,000 anyway. So once you're capping out on your Social Security and self-employment taxes, well, now you don't want to really be an S corporation. You actually want to start looking at LLC, single member, or partnership, because you can pay yourself to where those QBIs, those qualified business income deductions, actually outweigh the savings of the self-employment tax on that first $139,000 anyway. You know, and so a lot of people miss this stuff. Like a lot of those changes that happened in 2018, people are still stuck in the old information. And so you want to make sure, you're structured properly. you do have someone that is going to advise with you. You should be, I think you should be working with your CPA at least 3 to 5 times throughout the year, like whether maybe it's just some check-ins, and maybe you do kind of an initial tax planning with that guy. You figure out he is pretty entrepreneurial. He's for the business owner, not the IRS. And then obviously there's some year-end tax planning as well. So just to make sure that things are happening the way they should be happening, from the structure to the deductions, the strategies, everything. So that tax prep really is just data entry, and it's easy and it's painless on everybody.
So you don't have to try to come up with weird strategies after the year's already over. Like, how can I make this transaction look like this and do this? And, you know, so
absolutely.
I would say, honestly, based the more that I get to know taxes and, you know, bookkeeping and tax planning, I would say the single most important thing would be tax planning.
Yeah.
Because anybody can do, you know, basic bookkeeping. Anybody can do data entry on a tax return, right? Mm-hmm. It may be inaccurate or whatever based upon bad books or whatever.
Anyone can do
it. Yeah, anybody can do it. Doesn't mean you're
doing
it right.
Not
everyone can
do it well.
But where the most money has been saved is through a tax plan. Because a tax plan, part of the plan is to make sure that your books are in order. And then you're strategizing on things that you can do prior to the year ending. Mm-hmm. To offset your tax liability because, and again, I've been a little green to that or, you know, a rookie to that when I was younger and I didn't make as much money. And then as the more money you make, the more you realize how important the planning side of it is. Most people just focus on bookkeeping or just tax prep.
They just focus on getting by so they can keep running their business. The thing that people don't understand, taxes are your biggest expense in business, and nobody's going to care about your money more than you. So you have to be the one to take action to go find the right person that's going to service you properly and plan ahead, not at the very end of the year when it's too late to do some of these strategies. Like, dude, I'm sorry, but if you were an S corporation and you made $700,000-$800,000 and you could have float your money differently all year long to actually save money because of qualified business income taxes, like, or tax deductions, like, it's too late to go back and do that. So plan ahead, do your end planning, but plan ahead in the beginning of the year as well. That's where the savings is.
Guys, just so that you understand, like when I get messages, like I was emailing back and forth with somebody the last 2 days, and we were on a phone call this morning because he's asking, well, should I set up another S corp? I plan on making an additional $100,000, you know, over the next 2 years. And I'm like, okay, is that going to be equally $50,000 next year and $50,000 the next year? Or is it going to be nothing the next year and then a total of 100 the following year? Like, how the money comes matters. When the money comes matters.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different.
And even if you are in the S corp status to where that's going to be the best savings for you, you don't need two. Like,
that's what
because
we told
now
them.
You have
that's
two what, entities.
That's that, exactly what we told them.
Yeah.
It's another now, expense.
It's a more expensive tax return than a single member tax return, LLC. And you have to log corporate minutes on both. So there's just little things.
And you're paying another $1,200 for the tax return.
Yeah. It's a more expensive tax return.
And then you're doing bookkeeping or whatever on another corporation.
So really, I mean, like I have multiple LLCs and I have an S corporation.
Yeah.
And so really like, cause an S corporation, you can't pay your kids and you are missing out on some of those tax strategies. And so like you do, depending on where you're at, you might want an LLC and an S corporation and you flow money through them for those tax savings, but then you don't have the headache of two S corporations. Plus an S corporation cannot own another S corporation unless it owns 100% of it. So if you and your partner over here have an S corporation, you kind of set things up backwards. Mm. You should have your own S corporation. You and your partner should have an LLC. Then maybe you should have your own LLC so you can flow money to that and pay your kids. Mm. You know, so it gets complex, dude. And that's why people need to understand, like, I mean, don't try and wing this shit. Don't go set up an LLC because that's what you heard about on Facebook and or that's what your buddy did. Or don't go set up an S corp because that's what your buddy did and he makes similar income as you do. Like, dude, there's bad advice everywhere. Yeah. You need to get advice on what's best for you because your personal situation is what's different too. Like, one guy might have a wife that works and she might make a few $100,000 as, you know, a doctor at a hospital, but she's employed. She's not self-employed. Or, you know, this guy over here that you're comparing yourself to might have a spouse that is a business owner herself, you know? And so it just, the dynamics differ on everything and all that needs to be
evaluated.
There's no cookie cutter approach.
Yeah.
So
all of that does need to be evaluated. And guys, just so you, I mean, even today I spoke with a guy and he was smart about it. Just this morning, because he has, you know, three or four or five different rental properties or whatever it was. Guys, if you have rental property, you just for protection purposes, each one of those properties should have its own entity, its own LLC.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
A lot of people do that because if, let's say you have a rental property, somebody's selling drugs out of that house that you don't know about because it's a rental property. It's out of sight, out of mind. You don't know what's going on behind those closed doors. Mm-hmm. Somebody dies on the property or something bad happens, a fight breaks out or whatever it is. You don't want to be sued as the owner of that townhouse or of that home that you're renting out. Yeah. But you have five rentals under one LLC, which means now every single rental property that you have is up for grabs in some sort of lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And so what he's done is he's set up multiple entities for each property.
Yeah.
Right? Just for protection purposes. And that's a good way to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's one thing that we've seen in terms of real estate investors. They flow everything into one entity, which is exposing you in any sort of bad scenario, right? Yeah. So let's talk about entity structures real quick.
Okay. Yeah, let's do like a kind of an overview of sole proprietorship. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So sole proprietorship is you doing business just in your name. Mm-hmm. Okay. There is no liability protection. Yes, you still are eligible for business deductions because it doesn't matter. Your business, you get to take business write-offs, right? So LLC and sole proprietorship, depending on how your LLC is set up to be taxed, I mean, the only difference is the liability protection. You're still eligible for all the same business deductions. However, there are some strategies that you can use as an LLC or an S corporation that you can't as a sole proprietorship. Yeah. So a sole proprietorship is not something that we hardly ever recommend unless you're in like California.
What is a sole proprietor though? Because some of these people might be
you're doing
to the
business
point.
In your social security number.
Okay.
So there's no separation between you and the business. Once you go set up a legal business structure like an LLC or a corporation, you're going to be assigned an EIN number. That is basically your business's social security number. Right now there's separation. So if you have a property owned in an LLC and somebody does get harmed on that property and they try and sue whoever the owner of that property is, they're going to go after that entity, and there's separation between that entity. They can't go after you personally unless you've done something that has pierced that corporate veil, like not keep your proper books or whatever, right? Logging your corporate minutes. If you're an S corporation, things like that can pierce a corporate veil and make you liable now, or commingling books, things like that. You've got to operate them separately to keep that corporate veil. But if you operate them separately and someone gets harmed, they can't go after your personal assets. So the things that you've transferred into your name, your assets, your investment accounts, your personal home, like all those assets that you own personally are separated now from that rental property, so it's not liable.
That's why they call it an entity. You as an individual are your own entity, mm-hmm. and you're setting up the business. The reason why it gets an EIN, that's like the business's social security number.
Right.
You have a social. That's your entity, right? And so a lot of people, again, I mean, I told some guy the other day on DM to set up as a sole proprietor because – he was going to make like $8,000on like a side hustle or something. I'm like, dude, you don't need an LLC or to set up an S corp to, because the cost of maintaining an LLC or an S corp in terms of the tax return, doing the books, in some cases is going to outweigh, you know, somebody making taxes. $6,000 or $8,000. So it doesn't make sense.
LLCs are typically very cheap, really even S corps.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's a little legwork. Unless you're in states like New York and California, that's really the only time that we recommend, like, don't set up an LLC yet, because you got $800 a year franchise tax, plus you got to renew the LLC, you got to jump through all California's hoops. It's not worth it, right?
It can be up to like $1,500 in New York by the time you
do the publications
and, you know, do all that stuff.
Yeah, so and the publication's only one time, and then after that, but you still have pretty stiff renewal fees and stuff in New York as well. But you know, so really, I mean, that's the only time if you're just starting out and you don't really have a whole lot of liability exposure anyway, like, you know, we would say, like, dude, just stay a sole proprietorship right now. Set up
if it's very minimal.
Yeah,
very,
set up very, a business name, you know, a DBA, and set up a separate bank account for organization reasons, and then
so just so you know, guys, Kel just said set up a DBA. Some of you guys may not know what a DBA is. A DBA stands for doing business as. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you could set up a business under your own social security number, and that's a sole proprietor, and then you set up a DBA, doing business as Trevor's Lawn Care or Kel's Lawn Care, right? So it says that on the side of your truck. On your checks, it can say, you know, Trevor's Lawn Care or whatever. So it looks like that I'm running an official business, but it's all running through my social as a sole proprietorship. So that's what a DBA stands for.
Yeah.
Even an LLC can have a DBA. So, for instance, yeah. I could have Trevor Enterprises LLC doing business as Trevor's mm-hmm. Lawn
like
Care.
Like a holding company, but then you have multiple names underneath it.
Yeah.
So you could have, like, if you owned, like Trev says, a lawn care business, yeah. but then you kind of have this lawn care, like a landscaping business underneath it or whatever. Like or you whatever. Could have, yeah. you know, whatever.
Multiple DBAs yeah. under
an LLC or a sole proprietorship.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's a sole proprietor. You can do a DBA doing business as right off of your social. Then you've got your LLC, which I would say is probably the most common in for startups.
Well, because it's versatile.
It's very versatile.
Okay, an LLC is a disregarded entity, and it stands for limited liability company. Okay,
yeah.
A lot of people think it's corporation. It's not. It's not limited liability corporation. It's a limited liability company. Okay, and what I mean by versatile is it can be an S corp or a C corp or a single member. Or it can be a partnership, okay? And this is what's important for people to understand because we don't usually want to be
a confusing yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
if you're
you
not
don't usually want to be a C corporation, especially if you're a small business owner, because if you do have years with losses, they can't pass through to you and take against personal income. So, for example, if your wife works and makes $100,000 a year as a nurse, and you're starting a side hustle, and overall your side hustle lost $20,000 between all your business deductions. As a single member LLC, taxed as a sole pro or an S corp or a partnership, all those deductions can flow through and go against that $100,000. So now it reduces your taxable income from 100 to 80, right?
Yeah.
Saving you money on your taxes for the losses. But you can't do that as a C corporation. So we're not going to talk about that a whole lot today.
Yeah.
At all.
C corps are normally for who?
C corps are for bigger corporations that want to go public. Okay. In order to go public, you do have to be a C corporation. Okay. But it's tricky because you got to pay yourself out of them to get paid. And then if there's money left in there, you got to pay corporate tax rates, which are only 21% maximum. That's nice. But
yeah.
then once you pay yourself, so you've paid money on those corporate taxes. But then once you pay yourself now, they've got payroll taxes and income taxes. So you're paying double taxes
gotcha.
If you're a C corporation.
So those are mainly for higher, like
yeah.
big corporations.
There are times where that is necessary.
Okay.
So, and there's strategies around that.
Okay.
So when you start getting to where you're making $1 million a year plus take home, let's start strategizing around
looking
some C-Corp stuff.
Okay.
S-Corporation, as you guys know, is taxed as a corporation, so it eliminates you having to pay self-employment taxes. But in order to eliminate paying self-employment taxes, which is your Social Security and Medicare taxes.
Of what percent?
15.3%.
Okay.
Okay. So in order to avoid some of that, you have to pay yourself a fair and reasonable salary. So you are going to pay some Social Security tax. So for example, if you made $100,000 profit in your business and really your business is running itself and maybe you're really just doing administrative stuff in your business now. So really a fair and reasonable wage could be like, well, it's only $500 a week. You pay yourself payroll of $24,000 a year. You take the rest as corporate dividends without paying that 15.3%. But then you could talk to some CPAs to where depending on the duties that you're acting in your business, you know, you might want to pay yourself $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year Social Security tax or payroll taxes, W-2 earned. So you're paying those payroll taxes and really you're only going to save $30,000-$40,000 a year on that 15.3%. S corporation can save you a lot of money, especially in that first couple $100,000 a year income, depending on how you flow it.
So the best way to put it is, depending on where you're at income wise, each level of income, the entity should be adjusted or at least looked at. And you either need to adjust the wages that you're paying yourself in terms of a salary.
Yeah.
Or adjust the entity type. So if you set up as an LLC 10 years ago and you've just ran it as an LLC and at first you were making $20,000 a year off of a business and it's got to the point where now you make $100,000 or $150,000 a year off the business and you're still running it as an LLC, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah, and especially with the tax code changes now with the
yeah.
QBIs, the qualified
yeah.
business income, you know. So
yeah.
So yeah, you need to strategize with people on that. But if you've just been operating as an S corp and you're getting into the higher end, even the mid six figures, right?
Yeah.
So and then you guys got your partnership status as well. A partnership is if you set up an LLC with more than one person on it, it's automatically going to become a partnership. That means that you don't do an 1120S return for an S corp and you don't do a Schedule C anymore for just a single member. You do a 1065. That's actually a harder tax return than a 1120S S corp tax return. Okay. So a lot of people don't realize this because they're just like, oh, me and my friend, we're starting a cleaning business and we're just going to set up an LLC together, which is fine. But you need to understand your deadlines change. They're the same as corporations now, which is an S corporation, which is a month sooner. So instead
March
of April 15th, it's
yeah.
March 15th. There's fines and penalties that get very steep per partner. It's $200 a month per per partner per month for every month that you don't get those taxes filed if you didn't file your extension on time. So those are things that you got to know up front too. So don't just go wing it and set up an LLC, because an LLC can be a sole proprietorship. As far as taxation goes, that's a single member. It can be a partnership. It can be an S corp or a C corp. And if you don't set it up right and you don't know what you're doing, it can really be costly in the end too.
Like thousands, if not tens of thousands potentially.
Big time, yeah. And with those QBIs that I talked about as well, like you need to make sure you have the right NACIS code too, because if you're in professional services like accounting, like a lawyer, like a doctor, you don't qualify for QBIs. And so if you just go and set up an LLC and you put that you're in consulting, well, dude, now you're screwing yourself. You can't take the QBIs, the qualified business income tax, you know? So you're missing out on that 20% tax deduction, which is big. So if you made $100,000, dude, $20,000 comes right off the top before you pay taxes if you're a qualified business income, you know, person. But if you're not qualified, you're a doctor, lawyer, consultant,
based
accountant.
Upon the way that your entity was structured. So this comes back to what we talked about in terms of forming the entity, making sure that it's structured properly.
Yeah.
You know, guys, the only reason why we wanted to have this episode right now is because it is tax season. Mm-hmm.
It's a new year.
Right. It's a new year. It's tax season. And another thing is Kel's talking about how versatile an LLC is. So you could simply fill out a form and elect to have your LLC taxed as an S corp, which gives you the protection of an LLC, which is much greater than an S corp, but you get the tax benefits of an S corp. And another reason why we're having this episode drop right in this time frame is because if you've ran it as an LLC for a period of time, just so that you know, each year you only have from January 1st to March 15th to elect any changes on your LLC.
That's a good
point. You don't have to just trash your LLC and then set up an S corp and change your business bank account
or your
merchant account that you process credit. You can keep all that stuff under the LLC that you have.
Yeah. Your EIN would stay the same. So you don't have to
your
make all those changes.
Your bank account stays, everything stays the same, just the way that you're taxed changes by filling out one form and sending it into the IRS and saying, I want you to recognize my LLC now as an S corp.
Absolutely.
So the reason why we want this to drop now is because there are probably entrepreneurs listening or business owners listening that have ran under an LLC for a period of time. And again, this is not a blanket statement. It's not going to be 100% across the board. But I would say if you do make over $50,000 out of an LLC, you probably need to be talking to somebody about potentially electing to have the LLC taxed as an S corp. And you need to have that done before March 15th this year.
Honestly, and it might even be less. If you're only making $20,000 profit through your company, but you got a spouse or a loved one or someone you filed joint with that's making regular W-2 income. Like
you're talking about a combined
exactly.
husband and wife team maybe totaling $50,000.
You need to think about that. Yeah.
Not just the entity dumping $50,000, right?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was good that you brought that up. But again, guys, after March 15th, you're going to stay in LLC for the rest of the year. Even if you want to try to elect, they will not let it happen. Mm-hmm. And so you have a 2.5 month window each year to change that election in the way your LLC is taxed without having to change your EIN or your bank account or anything. It's basically seamless.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But you're ultimately saving thousands of dollars potentially.
There's a lot to know, and there's a lot. There is no cookie cutter approach.
Yeah,
and so,
not.
Like, honestly, this episode is like, I hope I didn't bore anybody. I hope people understand the information because it can be confusing, especially if you're new to business. Or, dude, I talk to people all the time. They've been in business a long time, but they've just avoid. They're very ignorant to the tax side of things, which I get. I totally understand. And that's why if you get anything out of this episode, like, dude, tax time is a nightmare. We're already dealing with it. We've got filings right now that we got to be doing as far as 1099s and W-2s that got to be out by January 31st. Like, but you need to not only be focused on getting through like your 2019 taxes right now, you do need to start thinking about your 2020 taxes, and having an entity consultation with a professional is a very smart idea, and getting some tax planning for 2020 right now is, well, pretty soon anyway, you need to do it. Like you said, there's deadlines on electing your entity. So you need to have some tax planning done in 2020 if you want to make some changes and you know that you've been leaving money on the table. So yeah, that's basically it though. I mean, we really kind of covered like some of the basics as far as the different entity structures and, you know, an EA and a CPA and a tax attorney and all that. So you guys, I hope you got something out of that and you kind of understand the importance of it now. But yeah, how we want to wrap that up, Trev?
No, guys, we wanted to make something short, quick, simple, sweet, informative, all that good stuff for you guys. We're trying to get out of town here. We're going to be in Canada for the next 3 or 4 days, 5 days, something like that. And we'll have a busy, busy week for the next 7 or 8 days because when we come back, we're going to be going up to Salt Lake. If any of you guys, you know, do any door-to-door sales or anything like that that are listening to this, we will be up in Salt Lake at Door to Door Con. Kel's going to be speaking at one of the workshops in regards to some attack strategies. Mm-hmm. And then he lumped me into doing some MC stuff. So you guys can come out and check that out and watch Kel speak and me probably fall on my face a little bit doing the MC gig for that event or a little workshop of that event. So again, it's Door to Door Con up in Salt Lake. It is next week.
January 16th through the 18th.
January 16th through the 18th.
They're like all days.
Yeah, so we'll be up there. If anybody's in the Salt Lake area that listens to this and wants to come chop it up with us for a minute or come say hi, we'll be around. Just DM us. We've got our booth
there. And I'll be speaking on the 17th around 2:30.
Okay.
But yeah, also guys, like honestly, and literally it's not a push at all. We don't care. I mean, we do care. We love earning business from people in the RBO community, but if you guys need some advice on entity structuring, I recommend get advice on entity structuring before you go whip something out on LegalZoom or go to your state website. Yeah, you can save money as far as setting it up, but really, is it a savings if it costs you a crap load of money in the long run? Yeah. So like, get advice first, whether it's through your tax professional that you already know. You know they're good. You know they're solid. If you don't have anybody, feel free to reach out to us, man. We put some of our top advisors on the phone all the time with people to make sure that they understand what's best for them, and we have really good rates on setting them up for people so that you don't have to deal with it and you can make sure it's done right. So do we want people to reach out if they need that?
Yeah, you guys can reach out. I mean, I've said it even on the Instagram stories. Like, if any of you guys have questions about entity structures or anything, just DM us.
Yeah.
You know, and keep in mind that if you're going to make under 30 grand maybe for the entire year with W-2 income and your business, maybe an LLC is the best. I don't even want to assume or
you can't.
I can't. So I was going to try to lay some small foundational things out to say, if you're in this scenario, maybe just do this. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
Because then it could be one more confusing. And secondly, they should consult somebody. Mm-hmm. And again, just sending us a DM doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
You
know, we are nationwide. We have clients in all 50 states. We've set up thousands of entities nationwide. So we can consult you guys properly if you need it. So reach out to us if you need it.
Yeah. So I'll read a review real quick like we do when we end each podcast. Exceptional is the subject line. Relatable, actionable, and sincere, realistic advice. Really hope these guys keep it going so that people like me can continue to be enlightened and encouraged. This was from Manitos La Obra. I probably butchered that one, but we appreciate
Thank you for the review.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. We appreciate the review. Guys, if you're listening, leave us a review. I think it helps us like rank or something. I don't know if it helps rank or not.
I want to finish with something, man, because I'm going to bring this up in my talk on next week.
At Door to Door Con?
Yeah. The thing that I want people to understand, man, is I 100% believe in working hard for our money. Mm-hmm. But I also 100% believe in our money working hard for us if we're going to create the wealth that we want. And one thing that people don't understand, because we all naturally avoid the tax game, right? Because it's the least attractive. It's the least fun to deal with.
But it also only happens once a year.
But I can't tell you how many people we have done a tax plan for that we've saved $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000,
$50,000
that they get to save not just this year, every single year. And you know what's funny is so many people have a hard time finding the money to invest in their future through whether it's in stock markets or mutual funds or whole life plans or real estate or whatever it is, right? Well, if you're tax professionals finding you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 every single year in tax savings, that's the money you guys can be putting to work for you to create the wealth that you want. And so I want people to know, man, like, don't avoid tax planning. No one's going to care about your money more than you.
Yep.
And if you will seek out the right professional to service you properly, will find you these savings, you've just found the money that you need to now put into your future so you can create the wealth. And that's what we want, man. You listen to RBO, we want you to create wealth.
Yeah.
And you're not going to create wealth without working hard and getting your money to work hard too. Yeah. So I want to finish with that.
Yeah. No, dude, that's incredible. So what you would have paid in without doing a plan.
You didn't know about it anyway.
You didn't know about it anyway. So you pay for a tax plan. There's $20,000 in savings. If you can do that every single year for the next 10 years and put that 20 away, 20 away, 20 away, there's 200 grand. But over that 10-year period,
you've got
compound interest.
Huge.
It's far more than 200 grand.
Yeah.
So the idea is wherever you could save, put that somewhere where it could grow.
We're all on borrowed time, people. You want to enjoy your later years and really be wealthy. Take action.
Be smart about it. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you guys. Go kick ass. Go make things happen and go make some money, and then call us when you make the money so that we could help you save the money.
Thanks, y'all.